Our scripture reading this evening is found in the Gospel according to Matthew. We'll begin reading at Matthew 4, verse 23, and read through verse 16 of chapter 5. Matthew 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That far we read. And God's holy, inspired word, may he bless that word and the reading of it to our hearts. The text that we consider is found in verse 3, the first beatitude. I hope to look at these as we do preparatory in the future, taking the first one this evening. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look forward to celebrating the Lord's Supper this coming week, God calls us to examine ourselves. And the Beatitudes that Jesus gives in the Sermon on the Mount give us material that we can use to examine ourselves. And the question we may ask ourselves is, are we, or am I, a citizen of the kingdom of heaven? If we show the characteristics of those who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven, then we can come to that assurance, again, that our faith is a true faith and that we are indeed citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And then we belong at the supper. The supper that we look forward to celebrating is for citizens of the kingdom of heaven who know our citizenship, who are able to examine ourselves and see that about ourselves. The text that we consider this evening is found in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And in that Sermon on the Mount, Jesus proclaims the gospel of the kingdom. It's called the gospel of the kingdom in the previous chapter when Jesus went about preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And first, Jesus then teaches us concerning the characteristics and the blessedness of those who are citizens in that kingdom. That's the first part. Characteristics of those citizens, verses 1 through 16. Then starting at verse 17, Jesus looks at the righteousness of the kingdom, a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And that description goes all the way through chapter 5, chapter 6, and into chapter 7. And then lastly, Jesus, in his sermon, exhorts us to enter into that kingdom. Verse 13 to the end of the chapter, Matthew 7, verse 13, he says, "Enter at the straight gate." So we want to look at the Beatitudes. And these Beatitudes are called Beatitudes because the Latin word for blessed is related to that word beatitude, beati, if you wanted to read the Latin Vulgate. But beatitude simply means blessed. And that's why these words that Jesus gives are called the Beatitudes. They speak of our blessedness. And each of these Beatitudes give a characteristic of citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Not in the sense that, well, some who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven are poor in spirit, and others who are citizens in the kingdom of heaven are meek, and yet others in this kingdom of heaven are peacemakers, but that all the citizens of the kingdom of heaven display all of these characteristics to one degree or another. Yes, we have a small beginning, but we, by God's grace, display these characteristics. And the first characteristic of kingdom citizens is poverty of spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So I want to look at that text under the theme, the blessed poor in spirit. Let's note In the first place, our poverty. Secondly, the blessedness that is ours. And lastly, our comfort. It should be evident from the Beatitudes that Jesus is giving characteristics that are not found in the world. When Jesus describes kingdom citizens, he is describing qualities that only are found among us who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And that makes us to differ from the world. The fact that we have these characteristics by God's grace makes us differ from the world. I have heard people say that we are no different from the world. But my response to that is, really? We are different by God's grace, so that there is a difference. There's a difference between a Cain and an Abel. There's a difference between a David and a Goliath. There's a difference between a Peter and a Judas. And that difference is the grace of God. God works that difference. Of course, it's true. We still have the old man. And we, having inherited that old man from Adam, continue to have that old man. And in that sense, we're similar to the world. The world has only the old man, but we also have the old man. But to say we are no different, and this overlaps just a bit with this morning, but to say we are no different is to deny regeneration and sanctification. Jesus, in his sermon, indicates we are different. He has redeemed us through his atoning sacrifice. He has regenerated us by his Holy Spirit. He sanctifies us. And now what happens when we are born again? He gives to us spiritual eyes, opens up our spiritual eyes so that we understand and see the kingdom of heaven. That's what Jesus taught Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Jesus by night, and Jesus says to him, John 3, verse 3, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There's that kingdom theme, but how do we see the kingdom? We have to be born again. And that makes us different. Citizens of the kingdom of heaven are unlike, in that respect, unlike the citizens of the world. Just as God has made us good trees, and good trees are unlike those who are evil trees, because we bear good fruit by the grace of God. God has worked that in our hearts. And the good fruit that good trees bear, well, that's the characteristics that Jesus is talking about in these Beatitudes. So what will you and I look like? If we have been made kingdom citizens, if God has given us to be born again, what will be that spiritual fruit? And Jesus describes that in this first beatitude. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, to understand what it means to be poor in spirit, first we have to understand our poverty. We have to understand that we are poor. And the word that's used in the original has to do with someone who is reduced to stooping down and begging. Someone who is totally dependent upon others for their sustenance. Now, of course, Jesus is not talking just about spiritual, or he's not just talking about earthly poverty, he is talking about spiritual poverty. Jesus describes a certain spiritual poverty. In the book of Revelation, speaking about the lukewarm church of Laodicea, he says, Revelation 3, verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." The church, many in the church of Laodicea, did not know their spiritual poverty. They did not know that they were spiritually destitute. To use a modern phrase, without a penny to their name. Spiritually speaking, spiritually destitute. That's what theologians are talking about when we use the term total depravity. Absolutely destitute, as we are in ourselves. But then the question is, how is it that Jesus says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit"? He cannot be saying it is a blessed thing to have poverty in and of itself, to have that spiritual poverty. So what does Jesus mean when he speaks of this characteristic, being poor in spirit? And it is this: that we recognize our spiritual poverty. Those that Jesus was talking to in Laodicea did not recognize that they were poor and blind and naked. But those who are poor in spirit that Jesus is speaking of are those who recognize, who see ourselves as spiritual beggars in the sight of God. Who see that all that we need, He has. And then we say, with the psalmist, Psalm 70, verse 5, "But I am poor and needy." And what does somebody who is poor and needy do? Does he simply sit there? What does the psalmist do? Immediately, in the same breath that he says, "I am poor and needy," he says, "Make haste unto me. O God, thou art my help and my deliverer. O Lord, make no tarrying." Poor in spirit means that we recognize we stand before God as spiritual beggars. Everything that we need comes from Him. Are you poor in spirit, beloved? Am I poor in spirit? Are you spiritual beggars with nothing to bring to God but needing everything from Him? That's who Jesus is talking about when he speaks of that poverty of spirit. And the gospel message in that first beatitude is that we, who by God's grace are poor in spirit, are blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. But what does that mean to be blessed? And now we want to see how, in the first place, the world uses that, and how in the ancient world the word that is used for blessed was used by pagans, and it was used to describe somebody who had great riches. And because of those great riches, they assumed that person was happy. And so often that word that's translated blessed is, in the King James, translated happy at times. And so if we look back at our beatitude, we could translate that, happy in their riches are the poor in spirit. And we understand Jesus is not talking about the riches that the world has to offer. The world looks at someone who has and enjoys great physical possessions, and the world says they are happy. The world looks at people with huge mansions and great salaries and fancy vacations, and they say, how happy they must be. We know, of course, that those things don't bring happiness. All of the riches in the world cannot bring true happiness. Jesus is talking about a deep-seated happiness, a happiness, yes, in riches, but in the riches that Jesus himself earned for us, in those spiritual riches that we have in our salvation. Blessedness comes in knowing that God has saved us. True blessedness comes when spiritual beggars understand that our debt has been paid and that we don't have to pay that debt anymore. We don't have to satisfy the justice of God that has been satisfied by Jesus Christ on the cross. Our debt is paid. There is true blessedness. What blessedness to know that God doesn't look upon me anymore in his wrath. He's not going to cast me into outer darkness, but rather looks upon us in favor. There is no greater blessedness, beloved. There are no greater riches than to be brought into fellowship with God. That is blessedness. And that too is the idea of the kingdom. Kingdom citizens, theirs is the kingdom. Now think of a kingdom. It's made up of God's people. But in that kingdom, there is fellowship. The whole idea of the kingdom is fellowship first with the king, and then fellowship with all the other citizens of the kingdom. What riches! What blessedness! And you find that throughout the scriptures. The New Testament, of course, was written in the Greek, the Old Testament in the Hebrew, but there are parallel words that are translated with this exact same Greek word throughout the Old Testament. And throughout the Psalms, you find that idea of those riches. Think of Psalm 1, blessed is the man. And then it describes that man who is blessed. It describes that man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. It goes on later in the psalm to describe that man who is like a tree that by the riverside grows and bears fruit. Blessed is that man. Or Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That is riches. Psalm 33, verse 12, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. That's riches. That's blessedness, being brought into God's inheritance, having been chosen by him. And this is certainly not exhaustive, but one last verse in the Psalms, Psalm 65, verse 4, blessed is that man, the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple, dwelling in God's courts. Covenant fellowship, citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's blessedness. That's the happiness that comes from those spiritual riches. When you and I have the riches of covenant fellowship, then we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's the connection Jesus makes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus is saying, if you are poor in spirit, you have that characteristic, then you have a place in the kingdom of heaven. Someone who is not poor in spirit at all does not know that they have a place in the kingdom of heaven. Now, of course, Jesus is not making this connection. He doesn't say, if you are poor in spirit, then you will earn your place in the kingdom of heaven. That's not what Jesus says. Our place in the kingdom of heaven is not because we are poor in spirit, but it's because Christ has earned for us a place. And now think of the theme of the kingdom again. When Jesus was on the cross, on that superscription, the King of the Jews, the King of those who are praisers of God, that's how we got a place in the kingdom of heaven. Christ earned that place for us. And if he earned that place for us, then he will also give us the enjoyment of that citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. We find another significant passage that speaks of the kingdom and how it relates to Christ having earned that for us. Colossians 1, verse 13. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, speaking of God's work, hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. How is it that we have a place in the kingdom? It's through the redemption that Christ earned for us on the cross. And on the basis of that redemption, God has translated us. He has transferred us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear Son. Foreigners talk about how wonderful it would be to cross the border into the United States. I remember my father telling me of one who said, if I could be in the United States and a citizen of the United States, that would be heaven. Of course, this man was not a believer. But there are people who would love to come into this country and be citizens of the United States, thinking to themselves, then I would have access to all those riches that Americans have. But that's not the source of our blessedness. True blessedness is having a citizenship in the kingdom of heaven. We are rich with the unsearchable riches that are ours in Jesus Christ. The more you look into these riches, beloved, the more you see we cannot plumb the depths of how rich we are in Jesus Christ. We are rich because we have a part in the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So that if you and I are citizens in the kingdom of heaven, then we are blessed. Then we are happy because of the greatness of those riches that we have in Christ. How can you and I have comfort? The comfort of knowing that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven? How can we know that we are truly blessed? Well, that's what Jesus points to when he calls them blessed who are poor in spirit. The evidence of our blessedness, the evidence that we have been brought into the kingdom, the evidence of our riches in Christ Jesus, is that God has given us to recognize that we are spiritual beggars. The world doesn't recognize they are spiritual beggars before God. But God has given us to recognize our spiritual poverty. We are spiritual beggars when we are convinced of that poverty. And when we are utterly dependent upon God for all of our salvation, who stoop as beggars, bowing before him, seeking our salvation from him. The evidence that we are truly rich is that we recognize our poverty outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, we have nothing. Outside of Christ, we are absolutely miserable. But when we have Christ, when we have been translated into his glorious kingdom, then we have everything. How does that work? Well, when the Holy Spirit regenerates us, he gives us spiritual life. And then he also works in us so that our eyes are opened, our spiritual eyes are opened. And we see how poor we are by nature, apart from God's grace. We know we have nothing from ourselves. Nothing in my hands I bring. Do you know that, beloved, about yourselves? that you have nothing to offer to God to earn his favor, but have only to depend upon his mercy in Jesus Christ. If you and I are kingdom citizens, we will recognize our spiritual poverty outside of Christ. But now we won't stop there either. Yes, we will recognize we are spiritual beggars. But God will also show us the riches that we have in Christ. He will give us to see that we are citizens in the kingdom of heaven. And he will give us to see the care and the love that our King has for us. And that's not just something that we have to wait for. Sometimes people have that idea that we have to wait until we get to heaven and then we will enjoy the kingdom. But the truth of the matter is, the kingdom of heaven is ours now. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We have already, by the grace of God, been delivered out of the kingdom of darkness and brought into the kingdom of Jesus Christ. We have eternal life now, so that we know God now. Jesus equates that eternal life with knowing God in John 17. Do you see evidence that you are citizens of the kingdom of heaven now? Well, then there's comfort too, that our citizenship cannot be forfeited. Our citizenship will never be taken away from us. Jesus says about his sheep in John chapter 10, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Our faithful shepherd holds us in his hand. And we could say that about our King too. As citizens of his kingdom, our King holds us in his hand. And he will never let anyone snatch us out of his hand. That citizenship cannot be forfeited. Even if the kingdom of darkness and all the demons and the devil himself would come against us and try to tempt us to fall away and to renounce our faith, they could not take us out of the kingdom of heaven. And even if all the kingdoms of the world gathered themselves together against the church and sought to overthrow the church, they still could not take our citizenship away out of the kingdom of heaven. And our old man could not take us out either. The old man, as a terrorist, comes against us and sometimes listens, causes us to listen to the devil and his lies. But our old man cannot take us out of the kingdom either. Our citizenship will continue uninterrupted. It's not like our citizenship, we lose our citizenship one day and we get it back another day. We are citizens in the kingdom of heaven. And one day, that kingdom will come in its fullness. And here is where we talk about heaven. Now we do not experience the kingdom in its perfection. Now we see through a glass darkly. But one day we will be brought into the fullness of that kingdom. And that's what we pray. Thy kingdom come. We pray that God would rule in us by His Spirit, that He would rule us by His Word and Spirit, so that more and more we submit ourselves to Him. We pray that God would preserve and increase His church. We pray that He would destroy the works of the devil. But we pray ultimately that God would establish that glorious kingdom that will come when Jesus Christ returns. Then Jesus will reign perfectly and fully in that kingdom, in the new heavens and the new earth. All who are citizens of the kingdom of heaven will enjoy the fullness of that kingdom when Jesus Christ returns. Do you long for that kingdom? That's a sign of a citizen. Somebody who longs for the perfection of that kingdom. I long for the day when I'm no longer plagued by sin. I long for the day when I will be able to fellowship with God through Jesus Christ in heaven. The wicked don't long for that day. Do you humbly bow down before God as a spiritual beggar and seek all your salvation from Him? Then you belong in the kingdom of heaven. That's who the supper's for. May God grant to us as we examine ourselves that we would see we are citizens who belong in the kingdom. And may His name be praised. Amen.